the tremendous host and privilege we have again to be able to hear from Mrs. Horowitz. Hopefully moving forward, we'll be able to hear from and learn from Mrs. Horowitz on a monthly basis, something we're very excited for. With no further ado, Mrs. Horowitz.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Shabtai. Thank you, everybody, for joining this shiur this evening. As Rabbi Shabtai mentioned, I will, be'ezras Hashem, we should be well, have this chos of presenting for the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah once a month. So I look forward very much, and I thank you for the opportunity and for joining me in tonight's shiur. So tonight we are going to be speaking about the patriarchs and prayer, the Jewish response to crisis. What is crisis? How do we define crisis? So I reached out to my friend, Zahava Farbman, who's very well known and has tremendous experience, unfortunately, with crisis, trauma, and in the Jewish community around the world. And Zahava and I have presented Shiurim in the past together, and I've heard her speak in the past. And I reached out to her and I said, please remind me of the definition of crisis. So she sent me a voice note on which I took notes. Crisis, okay, so Zahava Farman is a well-known social worker who really travels the world dealing with major trauma and crisis in the Jewish community. Mashiach shall come, and all of our yagon should turn to simcha and our feila li'ora. She has extensive work. She is a PhD candidate. She is a social worker. She works for Chai Lifeline. What is crisis? Crisis is, quote, anything that disrupts the normal routine of our daily lives. Crisis is defined, I'm going to repeat it, clinical definition. I'm quoting Zahava Farbman, anything that disrupts the normal routine of our life. So the title of this year is The Patriarchs and Prayer, looking at the Parshios. And we have Avram is Mesakin Tefillas Shachris in last week's Parsha Vayera. Yitzchak is Mesakin Tefillas Mincha on this week's Parsha Chayu Sara. And we will come up to Vayetzi, where Yaakov is Mesakin Tefillas Arvis. What is the Jewish response to crisis? The Jewish response to crisis is prayer. We don't take to the streets. We don't loot. We don't burn. We don't riot. We don't smash police cars. We turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam in Tefillah. That is the Jewish response to crisis. What is crisis? Before we address the patriarchs and prayer and the Jewish response to crisis, what is crisis? Anything that disrupts the normal routine of life is defined as crisis. When you look at these past 8-9 months, you could say that the COVID pandemic presents a major worldwide, national, communal crisis, in that the very fabric of functioning of our daily lives, our normal routine, has been completely disrupted. All ages, all stages, both genders, no matter who you are and where you live, your normal routine of functioning has been rudely, abruptly, catastrophically disrupted. Children have school, they don't have school. You've been exposed, you haven't been exposed. This person is sick, this person is healed. Shul is open, shul is closed. How can we celebrate Simchas Torah? We can't celebrate Simchas Torah. Can we have guests? We can have guests. Total disruption. That is the definition of crisis. Furthermore, add into this the political environment which America currently finds itself. And that is also something that the protests slash riots slash looting over the summer that affected many cities in America, including Jewish communities, the presidential election that we just went through, anything that disrupts the normal routine of life is crisis. When crisis becomes trauma, Zahava said, it is something we have no prior experience for. This is the perfect definition for the COVID pandemic. It is not something that anyone has prior experience for. So crisis becomes traumatic when there is a disruption to our daily lives, our daily routine, life as we know it. And that crisis moves to the state of becoming traumatic when it is something we have no prior experience in how to deal with this. We don't know. We've never seen it before. None of our coping mechanisms. So there's three nekudos, 3 points when crisis becomes trauma. One, it is a crisis that we have no prior experience for. Two, The usual coping mechanisms for dealing with the crisis do not work, which is very clear. Any other crisis before, this is unprecedented, at least in our lifetimes. I heard in the beginning of the pandemic, Rabbi Shai Schechter say, in the name of his father, of Herschel Schechter Shlita, who is Kenai Nahari, should live with Arichus Yamim and Shanim. In his, was 75 in 1976. I believe Kenai Nahara, Admev Asim Shanim with Arichus Yamim and Shanim, 80 years old. This is something that we don't have tshuvas on this. We don't know how to deal with this. It is not something that we have ever had to paskin before. But if you don't have enough ventilators, who gets them in the hospital? Who decides? What if a yasum can't say Kaddish? What if he can't be Menachem Avil? What if the Tahara is not normal? It's complete trauma because it is A, something we don't have prior experience with. B, the usual coping mechanisms do not work for dealing with the crisis. And three, different people, the same event, experience. The same event causes completely different experiences for different people. So one person might have COVID and say, "How? What's the big deal? I was coughing for a day and I'm fine." And the other person might say, "I had COVID and I didn't even know I had it. I got tested for antibodies. They're through the roof. I didn't even have one symptom." And the other person ends up, Rachman al-Tzlan, on the ventilator and Kavur Yisraelis. So when you look at the COVID pandemic and the clinical definitions, and this is obviously al rega achas, I'm not a social worker, I'm not giving a social work class, but anything that disrupts the normal routine of our life is crisis. The crisis becomes trauma when it is something we have no prior experience with, when the usual coping mechanisms do not work to get us out of the crisis. You know, there are certain ways we know how to deal with things. When it comes to the COVID pandemic, no one knows how to deal with this because we've never had it before. And finally, different people, two different experiences of the same event for different people. So two people could go through the same thing and you come out with vastly different experiences. And all this leads to communal crisis, communal trauma, individual crisis, and individual trauma. So that is how we are beginning Shir. I am quoting my esteemed friend, Zahava Fardman. Ribbono shel Olam should help her that her job should be only to be involved with Yiddish Simchas. We are living through a time that last year we could not have imagined, crisis and trauma. The pandemic and the politics have become crisis that have become traumatic. What is the Jewish response to crisis? And that's tefillah. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Chof Vav Amad Beis, and the Gemara tells us, Tanya, Kivase de Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Chanina. A braisa was taught in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina. Avram ti kein tefillah shachris. Avram, we're journeying through the parashios dealing with our avos and our imahos. We had Vayera last week. We have Chayisara this coming week. And these parashios that deal with the patriarchs teach us, and matriarchs teach us so much about our lives as Jews. There are so many lessons to be gleaned. But one of the themes in the lives of the patriarchs and matriarchs is the theme of tefillah, prayer. So the Gemara tells us here, Maseches Brachos Chof Vav Amad Beis, the Gemara says as follows. Avram tikein tefillah shachris. Avram was misakein the morning prayer. He established. Now, it doesn't mean he davened the Shemana Esrei like we have it, which means 18, even though we really have 19 brachas. Well, Amal Shinim was added as the 19th bracha, but he didn't establish the Shemana Esrei as written by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, but he established the idea that you wake up in the morning and you pray. Avram tikein tefillah shachris shenemar, like the pasuk says. Where do we know that Avram was misakin tefillah shachris? So we just had it last week in Parshas Vayera, Perak Yutes, pasuk of Zayin Bereishis, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Alamakom Asher Amancham Es Pnei Hashem. The Gemara quotes this pasuk 19:27 in Bereishis. Avram woke up early in the morning to the place, and he stood in the place where he was yesterday. Now yesterday we know Avram Davin in Perak Yutes for the people of Sodom and Amorah. He bargains with God. If there are 50 people, 45 people, 40 40, 30, 20, 10. Hashem says, if there are that many people, I will not destroy the cities of the plains. Avram goes to sleep. Vayashchem Avram Baboki, wakes up early in the morning. Elam makom asher amad sham es p'nei Hashem, to the place where he stood before God. Yesterday, the Gemara says, oh, what did he do the morning after he davened for Sodom and Amorah? He woke up and he davened, he instituted, not just to talk to God, but the institution of the morning prayer. And this is how we should start our day. We should start our day with the idea of tefillah, with the action of tefillah, with the kavana of tefillah. It is a misnomer, it is incorrect that women are not chayv in tefillah. Of course, you should ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but it is sometimes a misconception that people think, I am osik b'mitzvah, so I'm pater a mitzvah. Women are chayv, at least in some degree of prayer, every day. If it's something that we need to work on, we need to work on it. But Avram instituted the morning prayer. Ve'ein amida ala tefillah. The Gemara says, it says, Vayashkim Avram Baboka, Malcolm Asher, Amad Sham, as Pnei Hashem. Avram woke up early in the morning to the place where he stood before God. And this term, Amida, Ayin Mem Dalid, refers to tefillah. In fact, when Chazal and the Gemara refer to what we call the Shemona Esrei, overwhelmingly they refer to it as the Amida prayer. So Amida, to stand before God, is to pray. Avram established the morning prayer. That was last week's Parsha Vayera. Now you could say, in keeping with our theme, that Avram was in a time of crisis. It was something that disrupts the normal routine of life, even though he went from one Nisayon to the next. He was facing total destruction. He davened for the people of Sodom and Amorah to not be destroyed. 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, please don't destroy them. It was certainly a traumatic event in terms of the global sphere. The cities were completely overturned. We do not have previous experience in dealing with this. And what is the Jewish response to crisis? Avram woke up and he davened. Shifri kamayim libech nochach p'nei Hashem. Hashem says, you have a problem? I want to hear about your problem. Come to me. Moving on to Parashas Chayisara, which is this coming week's parasha. Parashas Chayisara begins in Parachov Gimel, chapter 23, with Misa Sarah. Sarah dies, and the Kavura of Sarah in the Ma'arsa Machpela, the purchase of the Ma'arsa Machpela in between Misa and Kavura. Parachov Dalit is about the first Shidduch in the Torah. When finally the Shidduch is made, and Rivka is coming back to Canaan, and she's going to be the second one of our matriarchs, we find that she's on the camel being led by the Eved Eliezer. And what is Yitzchak doing? Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnos erev. Vayar vayisa ina vayar vehine gmalim bayim. 2463. Chav dalet samech gimel. Yitzchak is going lasuach basadeh lifnos erev. Now note, Lifnot Erev, it's not morning, it's not boker, it's not evening, it's not dark. The day is turning into evening. Vayetzi Yitzchak lasuach, sin, vav, ches, basada. He's going to do something in the field. What is he going to do? So Rashi on Chumash says, 2463 Bereishis, Rashi on Chumash says, Lashon tefila, he's going to daven. Targum Onklus also interprets as prayer. Yitzchak is going to daven lifnot erev as the day is turning into evening. Vayar, vayisa'ena, vayar, vihine gmalim bayim. He lifts his eyes and he sees, behold, the camels are coming. So the Gemara says, continuing in Brachos Chafa, v'amibayz, Yitzchak tikein tefilas mincha. So we've already established that Avram was misakein tefilas shachris. In a time of what today clinicians would describe crisis and trauma on the universal stage, on the global stage, five cities were just completely overturned. All the people, all the tzemach ha'adama, everything was completely overturned. It's smoking like the smoke of a lime pit, and God rained down from heaven, gofres ve'esh, sulfur and fire are pouring down. And it's something we don't have prior experience with. And it's something that disrupts normal functioning. And Avram went and he took a sitter, so to speak, not really, and he davened. Yitzchak is also in a time, you could say, of crisis. Why? His mother has just died. And we know he doesn't have nechama for his mother until after he marries Rivka. So that means he's in a state of turbulence, uncertainty, something that disrupts the normal routine of life. Between the death and burial of his mother and the marriage, Chaf Dalet Samech Zayin, to his wife. And only after he marries her and he loves her, Vayinachem Acharei Imo, he is comforted after his mother. What is he doing in the field during this time of turbans? He's not in his mother's house. His mother's dead. He's not in his wife's house. He hasn't married his wife yet. So the Gemara says, Yitzchak tikein tefilas mincha. Yitzchak established the institution of in the afternoon, you stop and you daven. And that is afternoon prayer. Now, change the clocks to real time. By the way, I have no problem with changing clocks. I'm very happy we changed the clocks. Spring and summer is the fake time. This is the real time. I'm happy we're here, but the day is much shorter. And we have to stop and we have to remember the Ribbono Shel Olam. At some point in the middle of the day, Shkia is coming. And sometimes it's not easy. And you might be in a meeting and you might be at work and you might be at a doctor's appointment. And you say, whoa, I'm not going to make it back in time. I got to daven. The sun is setting. And Yitzchak, in this time of indecision, if you will, it's not morning, it's not evening. It's not my mother's house, it's not my wife's house. As the Pasuk says, this root word that is used, lasuach basada, doesn't mean he went to turn over the field. It doesn't mean he went to plow. It doesn't mean he went to harvest. It doesn't mean he went to till. It doesn't mean he went to fertilize. It means he went to pray to God. Ein sicha ela tfila. Sicha is none other than prayer. What's the proof the Gemara brings? As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Tfila la'ani ki atof, the prayer of a pauper that he swoons, Vilifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho, and before God he pours out his prayer. So we see that sin yod ches is the root word for tefila. So by Avram, it was Amida. Avram stood before God. By Yitzchak, it was Sicha. Yitzchak spoke. He conversed. He prayed and was misaking tefilas mincha. And only after he marries his wife does he have nechama. So we hope that after crisis and trauma, the comfort will come. But certainly in the moment of crisis and trauma, the proper Jewish response, Maisa avos simon labanim. That's why Sefer Bereishis is known as Sefer HaSimanim, the Book of Omens, because everything that happens to our patriarchs happens to us, affects us, and sets the path for how we behave. I once heard Rabbi Penner say, Rabbi Menachem Penner, the Dean of Ritz at Yeshiva University, said a beautiful idea. Why do we daven three times a day? Okay, not the halachic reason. Halachically, we have three tefillos a day. Here we are in the Gemara that says the patriarchs established these three tefillos a day. But hashkafically, why do we daven three times a day? So I heard Rabbi Penner say a beautiful idea. You start your day with prayer. It only takes a few hours, said Rabbi Penner, for man to think he's in charge of his life. The day's going well, everything's great, I have my plans, this is what I'm going to eat, this is where I'm going to go, this is when I take my lunch break, this is my meetings, my phone, because I took care of all my work, the laundry is all done, everything's fantastic. It only takes a few hours for a man to forget who, capital W, is in charge, and thinks that he, lowercase h or s, is in charge. And therefore, the sages, this is not the halachic reason we daven three times a day, but a hashkafic reason to help us understand that we must constantly remain reconnected to God. And finally, we come to the last tefillah of the day. So we have Shachris, which is Avram. We have Mincha, which is Yitzchak. And finally, we come to the last tefillah of the day. And the last tefillah, of course, of the day is Tfilas Arvis. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Yaakov tikein tefilas arvis, the third patriarch, Yaakov Avinu, was misaking the institution of the evening prayer. Where in Perachov Ches, Perachov Zion, you have the trickery, the stealing of the brachos, if you will, orchestrated by Rivka. Yaakov dresses up in Esav's hunting clothing, he gets the brachos, Esav comes home. That's a crisis if I ever saw one. Esav's normal routine of functioning is completely disrupted, which means he wants to kill his brother, which means Yaakov's routine is disrupted. Yaakov has to run away. I mean, that's a crisis I've ever saw one. There's a sword hanging on your neck. And yes, you're supposed to say Hashem could save me if there's a sword hanging on your neck until the last minute. But nevertheless, Yaakov has to run away from home. It becomes a trauma when we have no prior experience with dealing with this. And when your coping mechanisms do not work, what does Esav say? Yavo Yimei Evel Avi V'aharga Es Yaakov Achi. When my father dies, I'm killing my brother. So Yaakov, Yitzchak's already an old man. We're told that in the beginning of Perachov Zion. His eyes are heavy, he can't see, he's an old man. So Yaakov has to run away. He runs away and he finds himself on some mountain. It's Luz, it's Har HaMoria, the land folded over, Drash, Pshah. He's by himself. He's by himself. All he has is some stones under his head. Eliphaz comes and takes everything he has. He doesn't have any jewels. He doesn't have anything to protect him. He's a pauper running away. Today, we would certainly classify that. I'm not trying to give sociological or social work definitions to the patriarchs, but we do have to understand that every single thing is in the Torah. Nothing in the Torah is an accident. If the Torah paints the avos in these situations, it's to teach us something about our lives. We have all been in such a matzav like Avraham Avinu, where we daven for something and you see churban all around you. Today, with the pandemic, you remember what it was like Pesach and Purim, when you were afraid to turn on the news after Shabbos because all you saw on Yeshiva World News and Vasa's Nice was all the list of names of people who were nifter. And we were davening, but the pandemic was raging. And we have all been in such a situation where it seems like the world is smoking like the smoke of a wine pit. And again, I'm not trying to be a social worker and, you know, analyze the Avos Chas V'Sham and put them on a couch of a psychologist. God forbid. It's not demeaning. It's just understanding how ennobling. Hafoch bava, hafoch badukulaba. What does the sages say at the end of Pirkei Avos? Turn the Torah over and over because everything is in it. Every human experience you can have is in the Torah. And what does Avraham do? He wakes up and he daven shachris. He doesn't say, I throw in the towel. He doesn't say, I'm turning my back on you, God. He doesn't say, I don't know what you're doing. He says, you know, I'm going to daven. Yitzchak is in a situation where his mother has died and he does not have nechama after his mother. And that's certainly a sense of crisis and trauma and turbulence in one's life. And it's only Rivka who brings him the nechama after the three brachos return to his mother's tent. Chaf Dalet Samech Zayin with Rashi, the blessing on the dome, the nair that burned from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, and finally the Shechina, the Anan Kasher Al HaOhel, the divine presence resting over the tent. Then he had Nechama, Vayinechei Mitzhak Acharei Imo. But when he goes out to Davin in the field, that's pre-Nechama. And what does he do? He goes to Davin. And finally Yaakov Avinu is running away, his brother wants to kill him. He's on the lam. That's pretty traumatic. Vayifka b'makom vayalan sham ki ba ha-shamesh vayetze Yaakov mebe'er shava vayelech harana. Why does it tell me he left? I already know he left. Yatza tzadik min ha-makom oser roshem, because when a tzadik leaves a place, it makes an impression. Pana ziva, pana hoda, pana hadara, the glory, the splendor, the radiance of a place leaves. When a tzadik leaves a place, so Yitzchak left. Vayetze Yitzchak mebe'er shava, and he's going to Haran. And the sun is setting and it's dark. And it's scary. And he's all alone. And he doesn't have four wives. And he doesn't have tons of sheep. And he doesn't have all of his children. He has a brother who's chasing him. Parents who sent him away. And sometimes a Jew feels all alone in life. And you're scared. And it's proverbially very dark. Salvechik says, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. And I quote. And it's dark. Kivaha Shemesh. So what does he do? Proverbially, he picks up a sitter and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to daven. Erev. Arvis, says the Gemara. Yaakov tikein tefillas arvis from the word erev, from the word irbuvia, confusion. When there's confusion in our lives, when we face crisis and trauma, three times a day, we stop whatever we're doing. We don't check the news those three times a day. We don't worry about supper. We don't worry about the groceries. We don't think about tomorrow. Hashem, it's me and it's you. Yitzchak Yaakov tikein tefillas arvis shenemar vayifka b'makom vayalan sham ve'ein pegiya vayifka b'makom ein pegiya pe gimel ayin is the root encounter the place ein pegiya ela tefila pegiya to encounter means to pray. Furthermore, vayifka b'makom vayalan sham. So one of the names for the Ribono Shalom is Hamakom, Hamakom Yirachem Aleim, Hamakom Yirachem Eschem. So Vayifka Bamakom, Vayalan Sham isn't only telling me he daven, but in this place he encountered the place of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekom Sha'olam, Ve'ein Ha'olam Mekomo. God is the place of the world. The world is not his place. We inhabit God, so to speak. He doesn't inhabit our world. We inhabit his world. Vayifka Bamakom, and he encountered the place. En Pgiya Ela Tefila, quoting a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. And that's the Jewish response to tefillah. is to turn our pain upward, our confusion, our crisis trauma, our uncertainty to the Ribono Shel Olam. I want to quote a little bit from Rav Soloveitchik now, from a sefer called Worship of the Heart. Okay, Worship of the Heart, Essays on Jewish Prayer. So when I was preparing this shiur, I decided to look in the sefer. Unlike some of the Svarim of the Rav, I have not read through the entire sefer, bits and pieces, different essays. But I'm going to quote, 1 second, okay, from a chapter, Petition and Distress. And furthermore, he's going to talk about crisis. So have a propos for our shiur this evening. Rav Soloveitchik says, Tefillah, according to halacha, is closely knit with the experience of tzara, distress, or constriction. Bein ha-mitzarim, between the narrow streets. Mitzrayim was a narrow place. Min ha-metzar, karasuka, from the depths, from the straits, from the narrow places, I call out to you, God. Tefillah is closely knit with the experience of tzara, distress. Or to be more loyal to the literal semantics, constriction. When you feel you're in a constricted place, min ha-metzar, karasika, anani b'merchavka, we say that before it's kiyosho from Rosh Hashanah, from the narrow place, min ha-metzar, I call out to you, God, anani, answer me by widening my space. Tefillah means finding oneself in distressingly narrow streets. Many passages in the Bible confirm this premise. So as Rav Soloveitchik quote, only distress warrants prayer. It is natural that when we are in distress, we must cast our burden unto the Ribono Shel Olam. Mashleich al Hashem Yehavecha. Cast your burden unto the Ribono Shel Olam. V'hu yekalchelecha, v'hu yechalchelecha, and He will sustain you. Only distress warrants prayer. Listen carefully. If the mind is not haunted by anxiety, not plagued by tzara, if neither fear nor forlornness assault the mind, then prayer is a futile gesture. Man must see themselves as in a place of crisis when they stand before God. And He is the only one, capital O, who can save us from this disruption to our daily lives. And as the COVID pandemic has taught us, Ein lanu al mi lehisha'ein ela al avinu shabashamayim. We have no one upon whom to rely other than our Father in heaven. I'm going to repeat this sentence. Only distress warrants prayer. If the mind is not haunted by anxiety, if the mind is not plagued by tzara, if neither fear nor forlornness assault the mind, then prayer is a futile gesture. And now he quotes a difference of opinion between the Rambam and the Ramban. So there's a difference of opinion between Maimonides and Nachmanides. De'oraisa, when do we have to pray? De'rabanan, you got to pray every day, okay? Aaron was Shachris, Yitzchak was Mincha, Yaakov was Arvis. We daven 3 times a day. But de'oraisa, what does the Torah demand of us? So the Rambam says a Jew must daven every single day. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says we only have to daven be'et tzara. Okay, Rambam, tefillah is for every day. Ramban, be'es tzara, in a time of distress in the narrow streets. So someone told me a beautiful verse. She said we learned it in Michalah. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But a few years ago, someone reminded me of a beautiful verse we learned in Michalah. How do you reconcile these two opinions? Do you have to daven de'oraisa every day, or do you have to daven de'oraisa be'es tzara? Is prayer biblically mandated every single day, or is prayer biblically mandated only in a time of crisis? The answer is, which apparently I learned in Michal many years ago, if you realize that every day you're in crisis, then you have to daven every day. If you recognize every day you're in crisis, the Ramban says de'oraisa, you must daven when you're in crisis. But if you recognize that every day is crisis, and the Rambam says you have to daven every day, why? Because man is standing on a precipice. And without God sustaining me, keeping my heart beating, my lungs going, my sense of smell, my sense of taste, my ability to breathe, my ability to use the facilities, my ability to see, to hear, to walk, to talk, to digest my food. Without him renewing the works of creation every single day, he would cease to be. So every day I'm re-beseeching God for my life. And I think that's something during these turbulent times in which we are living, we feel in a more visceral sense than perhaps we have ever felt. Yes, we have all gone through individual nisyonos, and I'm not minimizing, and I have my fair share, and nisyonos are not easy. Sometimes they're a one-time event, and sometimes they're ongoing, and it's difficult. But we are facing a nisyon, facing the entire world in a way that we have never had experience with before. So if you recognize every day is a crisis, then you have to daven every day. And then you satisfy both opinions. The Ramban says you have to daven during a crisis, and the Rambam says you have to daven every day. But if every day is an eight sorrow without hashkacha pratis, chas v'shalom, then when do I have to daven? Hashem wants to hear from me every day. If Salvechik differentiates between the external surface crisis and the internal depth crisis. External surface crisis, and I'm going to explain them according to the Rav, and internal depth crisis. What is the difference between these two crises? External surface, internal depth. First, let's talk about the surface crisis. The external fall of man, he's first talking about the surface crisis, the external crisis. The external fall of man usually occurs at a communal level. The external fall of man usually occurs at a communal level, meaning it's a communal tzara. Tzara is an impersonal experience. It's not coming after you. It's not your personal nisayon. It's something that you find yourself striking the whole community. Tzara is an impersonal experience which strikes man from outside of his personal existence. It doesn't only affect one, it affects many. For example, says the Rav, I couldn't make this up. I wonder what year these shirim were given in. Probably a very long time ago. Much of the Rav's transcripts are from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Okay. A famine. What is an example of a surface, external, communal crisis? Says of Soloveitchik, a famine, epidemic, or war hits groups of people. Many share the experience of distress. Many die simultaneously. Many take sick at the same time. It's prophetic. God forbid. Many starve and stand in bread lines at the same time. Hashem yirachem aleinu. So yes, the individual suffers in the communal crisis, but it's not one individual suffering. This is a surface, external, communal event that causes crisis to the community. What is crisis? Going back to the beginning of our share, anything that disrupts the normal routine of life. Not for you as an individual. Yes, it is for you as an individual, but on the more communal level. Again, it affects not one, but many. The tzara is on a communal level, such as a famine, an epidemic, a war, which hits groups of people. Therefore, many share the experience of distress. Many die simultaneously. Many take sick at the same time. Many starve and stand in bread lines. Communities of suffering and distress are formed. Those communities of suffering can be found in the hospitals, in the funeral parlors, in the jails, in the slums. When man is involved in a surface crisis, the Torah recommends communal prayer. And here we come to the idea of fellowship in prayer and tzara, which is why Rav Soloveitchik says the Rambam speaks of tefillah b'tzibur. When we are facing a communal crisis, we band together through that pain. We all share in the suffering together. Surface, external, communal crisis. And this is where we have the idea. Did I just hear ringing? Where am I hearing ringing from? It's not in my house. Someone is not muted. I see it right here. Okay. Okay. One second. I didn't do this in the beginning of this year. I just muted everyone and didn't leave the possibility for unmuting. Okay, let's keep going. Okay. Oh, I see my mother's on. Bishus, my mother. I'm not sure. I just see you now. Bishus, my mother, who's joining us. Bruchah haba'ah. Thank you, Ma. So therefore, Sarah assumes a public character, and the response to the divine experience is collective. Yes, so the individual stands in the breadline, the individual suffering from the epidemic, the individual caught in the throes of war is suffering, but it is not me alone while the whole world is safe. We're in it together. Tefillah b'tzibur, community, external, collective suffering. This is what the Rav refers to as surface or communal crisis. Because the whole community is disrupted. If we go back to Zahava Farberman's definition, the clinical definition of crisis, anything that disrupts the normal routine of life. As a community, our normal routine of life has been severely disrupted. I was just speaking to someone last week, a wonderful family friend, who is many years older than me. I may have asked from Shana. Many decades older than me. And she said, I don't even know when I'm going to be able to be this Pesach. If it's going to be a second Pesach, her mind's already going there, when I'm alone. As a community, our entire fabric of communal functioning has been severely disrupted. It has disrupted our normal routine of minyan b'tzibur. Yes, there are some communities who are now doing whatever. Right? We're still in a tent in our shul, we're still social distance, we're still masked. Certainly the first 3 months when the base Knesset was closed, who ever heard of such a thing? Base Medrash was closed. Schools have been affected. Yeshivas have been affected. The ability to have Machnas Archim has been affected. The Simcha has been affected when we can't make Simchas in the way that we are used to. Shiva visits have been affected. Bikur Cholim has been affected. So we are facing a crisis. Surface, communal, external. It's impersonal. It's not coming after me and you. It's out facing the whole community. The response is tefillah b'tzibur. Now, by the way, I'm skipping. I'm not reading you the whole essay in this book, or we would be here, I don't know, through the night. More, probably. It's kedai, but not tonight. Now we have another experience. The depth. So if the community is affected, meaning surface, right? It affects all of us. Depth crisis, individual crisis is very different. And here Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. Out of the depths, mima makim. Out of the depths in which man finds himself. Now we're talking about man as an individual, not men, M-E-N. Man, M-A-N. Out of the depths, mima amakim karasicha, loshon yachid, from the depths, I call out to you, God. The individual finds himself in the depths. One calls upon God in seclusion and loneliness. So as opposed to the surface crisis, the communal crisis, the shared suffering, where we're all in it together, there are other nisyonos that affect us as individuals. And then we call upon God in seclusion and loneliness. The passionate experience is not shared by others, however close he is to me, since it is an integral part of my existential awareness, which is singular. This crisis is facing me as an individual, and you cannot relate to what I am going through. You're not going through. You could feel bad for me. You could daven for me. You could cook a meal for me, but you're not going through what I'm going through. So you don't understand my personal depth crisis. No one but the sufferer himself in the depth crisis is involved in this deeply human anguish and conflict. And I want you to think of a personal sign in your life where only you and the Ribbono Shel Olam know how you feel. People could be empathetic. They could be condescending, chas v'sham. They could try and help you. They could say, what could I do? But you know, when you're going through a difficult time, all the food that is sent to you in the world might alleviate the burden of preparing a meal, but will not alleviate the pain of that depth crisis. Again, no one but the sufferer himself is involved in this deeply human anguish and conflict. It is the sufferer whose awareness oscillates between bliss and pain, You have, when you're going through a crisis, trauma, as we've defined them, sometimes you oscillate. There's bliss, you focus on the good, you see things went well today. There's pain. In the great negation of the finite that rises out of confrontation by the infinite. The negation of the finite, the negation of self, by the confrontation with the infinite, by confrontation with God. And listen to what the Rav says next. Sometimes you might think that people with whom you share your home, the people closest to you, can feel exactly what you feel. But you know what the truth is? I see someone shaking her head no, because you're right. They can't feel exactly what you feel. Why? Because they're not exactly you. Says Rav Soloveitchik, neither spouse nor child nor parent may understand and sympathize with the lonely individual. Not because they don't want to, but they're a different person and they don't feel exactly in the same way. Remember Zahav Farman's final definition, that crisis becomes trauma based on how we experience the event as an individual. So two individuals might face the same event, but their experiences, their interpretations, their journey through that event is different. Even if you're in the same situation, you're still a yachid. Neither spouse nor child, nor parent may understand and sympathize with the lonely individual when his experience is at its lowest ebb. When your trials, nisyonos, when your doubts, when your inhibitions abound. And prayer echoes from the depth crisis of a questing soul emerging from seclusion. Prayer echoes from the depth crisis of a questing soul. You're on a quest to find God, emerging from seclusion. You emerge from seclusion, from your pain, to meet the Ribbono Shel Olam. You come from out of loneliness of the individual, when everybody has abandoned you, except God. It doesn't mean literally abandon you. They don't want to abandon you. But the reality is that when you're in an individual crisis, no one could understand you, because they're not me. And it is at that moment, from the depth crisis, the individual crisis, that the individual as an individual turns to God. Tefillah b'tzibur. If you have a chiv to daven tefillah b'tzibur, don't take this to mean you should start davening at home. That's not what we mean. But there's also the tefillah of the yachid. And that's only a conversation between me and God. Alamakom asher amad sham es p'nei Hashem. Stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ein amida ela tefillah. When the world around you is being destroyed and there's gofris ve'esh min ha'shamayim, Avram woke up and he said, Hashem, I'm going to stand before you today. Yitzchak tikein tefilas mincha. He didn't have nechama for his mother until after he married his wife. And the response to that trauma was, I'm going to go into the field and I'm going to daven. And Yaakov tikein tefilas arvis. When the erev is so dark, when there's so much irbuvia and confusion, and the crisis reaches its maximum, and the trauma knows no bounds. So then the echo of the prayer of the individual emerging from his loneliness comes to God. Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'ashem yasveni. It quotes the Rav, Kapitel Tehillim Chaf Zayin. My father and mother have abandoned me. It doesn't mean they abandoned you, but even they cannot understand your pain. It's your pain, not their pain exactly in the same way. Because remember, a third definition of when crisis becomes trauma is we each interpret and experience the same event in a different way. And at that moment, the situation of the afflicted person, as he is overwhelmed by pain, pours out his complaint before the Lord. The situation of the afflicted person, as he is overwhelmed by his pain, he comes and he pours out his complaint before the Lord. We should be zocha. The Ribbono Shel Olam should be a shomea tefillah and a mekabel tefillah. A different shir for a different time. The Rav distinguishes between those two terms. He should be a shomea tefillah, a mekabel tefillah. He should help us emerge from this communal crisis. He should help us get through our individual crises. And Be'ezras Hashem, in the long-awaited end of days, Umach Hashem Dima me'al kol panim, v'charpas amo yasur me'al kol ha'aretz. Ki Hashem Diber Be'ezrat Hashem, I will see you next month. I thank you all for joining. I thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to give a monthly shiur. I wish you all besuros tovos. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov.